different for real about being new, but rather you make these resolutions just for something to do. You ever met the person that played lottery but didn't expect to win? Just every day they gave $3 to $5 of their money just playing the lottery, but they really wasn't. Let me tell you something, baby. With the way the economy is today, if I spend $5 on lottery tickets and I don't make 17 back, I have a problem. Amen. So you have to be careful about doing things just to be doing things, simply because that's what you do around this time. Amen. So I believe that many of us make resolutions that we're not really focused on keeping. It's just another promise. And it's something about promises, because when you have been used to promises being broken, promises really don't mean that much to you. So you really don't mind making promises to yourself about being a better self, because you've been lied to, played, left for dead, dropped the ball on numerous times. So you lying to you really ain't nothing too bothersome. Lord, have mercy. I want you to hear me. As long as your desires for a new life, please help me. As long as your desires for a new year, new life, are in alignment with God's will for your life, I promise you, you can see change. Oh, Lord, let me say that again, okay? Because I've been saying, everybody get focused. Seeing people walk into church and acting like it's, I don't know what to do, Jesus. I want to say this again to you, because everybody's looking for the formula. Everyone's trying to figure out, how do I get this thing to, I know, right? how do I get this thing to work for me? Why is it working for sister such and such and brother you know who? But it's not really working for me. Here is the hit. Your formula, here's the formula for your successful life in Christianity. Your will has to align with his will in order for will to accomplish. Amen. There was a joke. I didn't think it was so funny, but now as I got older, I believe that it is. And the joke went, God, let me tell you my plan. I understand that I'm around some people that's been through something. Amen. Let me tell you my plan. But I'm going to say this again, because I want you to hear it good. Your new year, bump that. Your new life. As long as they are in alignment with God's will for your life, I promise you, no matter how jacked up it's been, you can see some change. The problem with keeping or trying to keep resolutions is not the change necessary for the keeping of the resolution is too much. It's not necessarily that, you know, keeping the resolution is too much. That's not the problem, no. The problem is the change necessary for bringing the resolutions to pass is far too much for a strength of our own. See, anything that I'm going to leave up to me, I can't get too excited about. Because left up to me, left up to my strength, left up to my faithfulness, left up to my, you know, whatever it is that's necessary, I might fail. But when it's in the hands of the Father, Lord, have mercy. Amen. And see, this is why I desire to be in God much rather than I desire to be in me. Being in me got me in prison. Being in me got me child support. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. Yeah. What would you say that being in you got you that you could have done without? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So I want you to catch this. The problem with this resolution keeping is that we're trying to operate these new ways, this way we're going to be without God. It's kind of like fasting but not praying. Lord, have mercy. So when I begin to think about this, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible when it comes into play in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. And the first version I'm going to read to you is from the New King James Version. And it is simply what we slate our church on. Amen. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's power. All things. Now listen, because when we begin to hear that, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was in a carnal state of Christianity, when I read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I began to think about things that I didn't really need to do. As opposed to, I can do all things, like not cheat on my wife, through Christ who strengthens me. See what I'm saying? See, y'all, I got quiet. See, there's some things that you don't have power to stop on your own, because if you would have had the power to stop it on your own, you would have stopped it by now, right? So I don't claim to be able to do anything in my own strength. I say, Pastor Lyons, he sure did change. He sure is a different brother. I remember when, yada, 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 yada. And I'm telling you, the life that you see me living is not me that's living it, but yet the Christ that lives in me. And any time that I happen to get out of the will of Christ or out of the way of Christ, I will no longer be this person that you're so proud of. Amen. Am I by myself in here with that? Lord have mercy. That verse is short and straight to the point, but I also want to look at it from the Amplified Version, because it will help to drive home some very serious points. The Amplified Version says, get this, it says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Oh, Lord. I can do all things which he has called me to do. And one of the things that he has called me to do can be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, where it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this is critical, because as I deal with the focal verses in a second for today's sermons, I believe that this verse will encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Amen? And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to be holy. Oh, Lord. He don't sound like no preacher. Sometimes it's hard to be holy. Amen. And so I need that inner strength. I need that empowerment infused in me by Christ, so that when I'm having a time tussling with doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing, I've got something in me that's not of me to get me where I need to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every now and again, I just need a push. And I believe, and I ain't too proud to beg, amen. When I see myself about to lose myself, God, I need a push from you. Because if you don't push me right here, I'm about to lose it all. Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 6. These are my focal verses for today. The book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to go ahead and just read these in the Amplified Version, to help punctuate the point today, if that's all right. The Bible says, what shall we say to all this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit, so that God's gift of grace may increase and overflow? Certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it any longer? Or are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We have therefore been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and the power of the Father, we too might walk habitually, there's a word right there, habitually, in newness of life, abandoning. Somebody say abandoning. Abandoning our old ways. For he has become one with him. For if we have become one with him, permanently united in the likeness of his death, we will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live together with him. Somebody say amen. Because we know the self-evident truth that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt once for all. And the life he lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with him. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. May God add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, but most of all, the doers of his word. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to sin broken, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. And if I could arrest your intelligent attention for just a few more moments, I'd like to talk to you from the topic breaking to be unbroken. Breaking to be unbroken. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, my prayer is that I decrease so that you will increase, and what you have prepared these lips to loose unto your people will not only be heard but received and applied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Without a shadow of a doubt, if you have lived long enough, you have had to deal with pain. Whether it was or is physical, mental, or emotional pain, there is nothing like pain. I've been jumped before by five men, beaten to a pulp and left for dead in a pool of my own blood, and that was in pain. That was a pain that was endured at the hands of violence. That was one form of physical pain. And then I laid on the concrete floor of the Louisville County Jail with one side of my jaw pressed against the cold concrete floor in hopes that the cold of the floor would bring some type of a pain relief to this toothache, this tooth hell that I was going through. And that was another form of physical pain. I've also sat in a bedroom with my beautiful wife in my arms and watched her take her last breath after a five-year fight with bone cancer by the name of multiple myeloma, which back then was a rare form of cancer that only old people got. In fact, back then, only one in every 100 young people got this form of cancer, and she happened to be one out of that particular 100 people. And she died in my arms, and that was emotional pain. And though every one of those scenarios felt like I would never be able to breathe again properly after being saved, a little over 20 years, I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, none of that pain that I just described to you was anywhere near as painful as broken fellowship with God. Now, I don't know, I don't know your walk, amen? But if you have ever nestled in the sweet presence of the great I Am, Lord have mercy, and for whatever reason played that off and lost connection with God, then you would have to agree that it is one of the worst feelings that you would ever feel. I remember even as a pastor, if I can just be transparent, I remember coming to the pulpit, preaching my guts out, people getting saved, people falling out in the floors, and then as soon as I walked and hit the first step, the power of the Lord was gone. And not only was he gone, he would say, I'm not with you. Now, I know the Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but the Bible did not say that we wouldn't leave him. The Bible is true. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but we can leave him. Watch this. We can be all about his business and nowhere near in him. Isn't that amazing? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So there is something about coming into the knowledge and the understanding of what happened on Golgotha, also known as Calvary, the cross, and why he went through it. And there is something about finally beginning to understand how the depths of his love for you, for me, drove him from being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery, equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, even to the death of the cross. There's something about understanding that he went from here to here on the strength of us. Oh, Lord. Lord, have mercy. There's something about that that just begins to reshape and redefine the love and what love really is. And when you begin to truly understand why we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, if you ever just stopped and thought about that, Minister Wilmer, just while I was a hot mess, Jesus was dying for me. While I was in the hotels, Jesus was dying for me. While I was drinking like a fish and snorting all types of you know what, Jesus was dying for me. While I was laid up with this person and that person and this person, Jesus was dying for me. It's a love that can't be explained. It's a love that's far past incredible. It's a love that I can't even express, but on the strength of it, Lord, have mercy. On the strength of it. I don't know why he did it, but I'm grateful. Anybody know something about that? I don't know why he did it, but I'm grateful. I don't know why if it had been left up to me, I'd have just been left where I was at. But because he's God and because he's faithful, he found it not robbery to make himself in the situation of a man. Lord, have mercy. When that really begins to sink in, Lord, have mercy. When that begins to sink in, it begins to deal with you, and you begin to love God with everything in you. When it begins to sink in, it's you know what I'm saying to you? It's like you just can't let him go. It's just when you begin to, hold on, man, while I was three times crazy, you still love me? If anybody in here was like me, I even talked bad about Jesus. I was a Muslim. I didn't even believe in Christianity or Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I talked crazy about Jesus, and as I sat there on a cold, hard bench in the Louisville jail getting ready to be processed into the hole, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, all you got to do is say nothing. I'm going to show you who I am. Watch this, because I'm getting ready to tear up the write-up, and I'm getting ready to send you back to where they brought you from, and you will know that I'm God. It wasn't 5 minutes later, beloved, that the nastiest guard in the Louisville jail walked into jail and said, listen, we've had a change of heart. What we're going to do is give you another chance. And he tore up the write-up, and he picked up my bags. Watch this. He picked up my bags, and he walked me back to the cell from which I gave my life to Christ. I need you to understand. I need you to, oh God, I need you to understand. You just can't make this stuff up. Oh Lord, have mercy. Now, when you begin to really let it sink in and it begins to deal with you, you begin to love him with everything that's in you. And then there begins to be this relationship of fellowship. It's an intimacy between a father and his child that's so deep that you know, you're just able to share anything with him. And you know, you work everything out through him. You share everything with him, but you work everything out through him. I love the relationship with my daughter. I'm telling you something, me and my daughter, we would go at it because she is me, Junior. You understand what I'm saying to you? But this is one thing I know about my daughter. I don't care how crazy it is. She'll walk in my office, and I say, yeah, what's up? Come on in. And she says, Daddy, can we talk? And I say, yeah, we can talk, and I don't never know what we're going to talk about. And she begins to share her life with me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And the picture that I grasp is just when you know, how God just strokes us. Just go ahead and tell me all about it. Just tell me. And I understand that she's not coming and telling me about what she's going through so that I can berate her or belittle her or make her feel less than what she already feels. She's coming to me because she needs knowledge. She needs encouragement. She needs wisdom. She needs answers. You understand what I'm saying to you? And she trusts me, Lord, have mercy. We could have just fell out yesterday, but she trusts me today to tell me whatever it is that's going on in her life because she understands that the love that I have for her, I will never tell her anything that's going to hurt her. Isn't it amazing how God is just the same, but so much better in a million different ways, right? That you can just step to him and say, listen, God, I'm going through this thing with everything on the inside of me. I want to love you the way I hear people talk about they love you. With everything on the inside of me, I want to be with you like I see other people seem to be with you. But I've got some things going on in my life. I've got some isms. I've got some junk. I've got some mess, and I'm ashamed of it. I can't talk to my pastor about it, and I can't talk to my best friend about it, and I can't talk to family members about it, because if I talk to them about it, they might look at me different. They might take me off the praise team. They might take me out of position. They might not speak to me no more. I might not be able to come over for the family reunion. I might not be invited for Thanksgiving, but this loving Father, this loving Father we can go to and say, God, this is where I am, and I know I'm a mess, and I know I ain't right, and I know I need to get it together, and I know that I'm broken times three, and I know that I'm a hot mess and a wretch undone, but I trust you to not put my business on Front Street. I trust you to love me through the crazy. I trust you to love me through the pain. God, I trust you. Lord, have mercy. It's this relationship. It's this relationship of intimacy between the father and his child. I'm going to say it again. So it is so deep that you begin to share everything. And you know why you can share everything with God? Because he know anyway. He ain't telling you to pray to him because he don't know what's going on. Do you understand that when you pray to God and you begin to tell him what's going on in your life, what you are telling God is, I trust you despite who you are. Though you perfect, I'm going to bring all my imperfection to you. Do you understand that is a leap of faith to be able to get on your knees and tell God, Lord, here's where I'm at. That is faith. And you're able to do that because the life that you live now is not yours. It's not you that's living it, but rather it's the Christ that's in you. It's a love that is unbelievable, unmatched, and nothing, I promise you, beloved, nothing can touch it. And with all of that, it takes, all it takes, as good as he loves us, as amazing as he loves us, all it takes is one day where you neglect to kill your flesh. As good as he's been to you, as good as he's been to me, all it takes is one day, just one day, we don't pray that prayer. Amen. We jump out the bed and make a mad dash for work before we make a mad dash for devotion. Because in devotion is where you begin to crucify your flesh. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you ain't got a devotion life, pick you one up. I'm telling you, it'll change everything about you. If you can start your day out in the Word of God and in prayer, I'm telling you, ain't no devil from hell will be able to come up against you all the day long. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what Satan is banking on is that you will not spend time in devotion. It's all it takes. All it takes is to get on Facebook before you get in the book. It's all it takes. Lord, have mercy. And you neglect to kill your flesh. You know, Paul said this. He said, I died daily. He said he died daily to his flesh because he understood that not waking up and committing murder against his flesh could most likely result in him in sin. Yeah. There's got to be a murder of your flesh every day. And keep your pistol with you because he's probably going to pop up later on that afternoon. And people might not understand what you're going through, but they better be glad that you're going through it because if I didn't, I might. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Be glad I kill flesh because every now and again you think about, Paul understood that if he didn't kill it, he would most likely find himself in sin, which is missing the mark, resulting in being separated from God. And beloved, hear me good when I say there is no pain like the pain of being separated from God, especially since the only way you can ever be separated from God is because you caused the separation. This isn't like any old relationship where, you know, me and Miriam, we ain't speaking, and you can come speak to both of us on the situation, and then you got to decide on who you're going to believe. Uh-uh, baby. When you're in separation with God, it's your fault. Why is it your fault? Because he's perfect, and he's perfect in all his ways. You understand what I'm saying to you? So anytime that I find myself in, you know, going through it with God, I have to check me first because I understand that God didn't do it. I did. Oh, Lord. Somebody said, I did it. Yeah. Admittance is the first step. Amen. Watch this. You,
especially since the only way, I'm going to say it again, that you can become separated from God is because you caused a separation. Yes, see, God never wants to be apart from us. Catch that. God never wants to be apart from us. So in order for there to be a separation, there had to be an infiltration. You hear me? In order for there to be a separation, there had to be an infiltration. And an infiltration is deep because it's defined as to secretly enter or join something such as a group or organization in order to get information to do it harm. You see that? Let's read it again. To secretly enter or join something such as a group or organization in order to get information to do harm. Oh, that's deep, ain't it? That's deep right there. And Satan will use, watch this, Satan will use somebody to come into your life, make you believe that they are with you and for you, and get deep with you to where your trust is without question. And when that happens, you become vulnerable. This is why y'all got to quit making friends in a month. Amen. I love you. I promise I do. But in order for us to be friends, we have to have went through some things together. You understand what I'm saying to you? I have to know for a you hear me? I got, my Jesus used to say, you can count your friends on one hand and have fingers left over. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm 53 years old, and I know that is the truth today. You understand what I'm saying to you? You can't get caught up with that. We've got to go through something, baby. Lord, have mercy. He'll come into your life, and he'll send somebody into your life, and the next thing you know, you're vulnerable. So when they try to suggest something that is contrary to God and it was contrary to God and you and you and God's relationship, it's easy to get you to bite because he's gotten enough of your personal information to talk you into whatever. That's why you got to be careful about what you tell people when you meet them, amen? Because everybody ain't there to be your friend. Everybody ain't there to be your play cousin. You understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody ain't there for that. And how many of you notice the truth that sometimes you've told some people some things in confidence, and then next thing you know, you was being manipulated by what it was that you shared with them? You got to be careful of how the enemy works. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so it's easy to get you to bite because they know the personal information. They know how to make you move. They know how to make you jerk. They know how to make you what? They know how to make you I do it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And since Satan is the father of lies, his finesse game is next level. And all of a sudden, you find yourself willfully in sin, and now there is a separation between you and who you was once close to. There's a separation all of a sudden. You ever notice how, like, when you're living your life for God and then all of a sudden you begin to operate in sin? I mean, it could just be the smallest of sin, but then everything gets chaotic. Everything begins to, you know, it's out of your grasp. You can't hold. Everything seems like the floor is always moving up under you. It's simply because you have gotten away from the one that was close to you. I want to go back and deal with in depth Philippians 4 and 13, the Amplified Version. And I'm probably not going to get done with this today, but if not, God willing, we'll finish up next Sunday. But I want to. I think this is a little too rich to rush it. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, 13, the Amplified Version says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. Somebody say his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. And this is all too deep, but Paul says right here, he says, I can do all things which he has called me to do. And so when I see that off the dribble, I understand that I will never be able to do successfully what he has not called me to do. Oh, I'll never be able to do. I was never able to be a successful father because I came into fatherhood in a way that was not of him. Woo. Woo. Can I bless some of you single mothers in here today that's been feeling bad, or some of you married mamas that had babies before you got married? Can I just go ahead and bless you today? You wasn't no bad mama. You ain't no bad mama. You just did things out of order, so hell came with that. Raise your head up. Let yourself off the hook. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's an order to everything, and if you don't follow the order, then there's going to be, as the secular people would say, hell to pay. Amen? And so when we do things that is out of alignment with God, there's usually hell to pay. I did fatherhood out of the alignment to God, and not only was it hell to pay, it was child support to pay. Lord, have mercy. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I had to tell the judge that a many a day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So listen. And so I understand that we will only be able to do successfully what he's called us to. And get this, and what he has called me to, watch this, and what he has called you to is his purpose.
That's right.
His purpose. Quincy Jones said when they was getting ready to make We Are the World, he said, it's documented that he told every major star that walked through the door, drop your attitudes at the door. Can I just go ahead and say that if we're going to walk in Christ, we have to drop everything that we thought we was at the door. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because it's not even about what we want to do. It's about fulfilling his will, his purpose. Yeah, he has called me. He has called you to his purpose. And he hasn't just called you to it. He's called us to fulfill it. He didn't call us just to look at it. He called us to pursue it and fulfill it. You understand what I'm saying to you? To fulfill his purpose. And whatever purpose he wants us to fulfill, it can only be fulfilled through him. Lord, have mercy. Now, can I just bless you? Can I just bless every person in here and let you know that the wife is in the cards? The husband is in the cards. It's a part of his purpose, but it can only be fulfilled through, oh God, y'all ain't talking back to me in here today. It can only be fulfilled through him. And until you operate 100% wholly and totally through him, it will never come out the way that it's supposed to because it's not his will. You are not here living your will. You're here to fulfill his purpose. His will. Do you see that? There is a purpose that he wants us to fulfill, but it can only be fulfilled through him. Now, I want you to catch this. Though he's calling me to fulfill his purpose, watch this. I still have no say in how it's to be fulfilled. He doesn't need our help. He just needs our obedience. I want you to go over and witness to Sonia real quick. Hold on, let me get dressed. She got the Sonia got to know I'm winning if I'm in you, Lord. No, that ain't what he said. He said, I want you to go over there right now and witness to Sonia. Huh? How many of you tell the truth and shame the devil? God tell you to do something and then you be like, I'ma do it, but I'ma do it like this because I know them. I know them. And if I do it like you want me to, Lord, it probably ain't gonna come off the way you want it to. But if I do it like, because I know them. Baby, don't you know that he knew them before you knew you? Listen, now, God was really dealing with me on this thing because when God calls, watch this, he's calling for a reason. If I call you on the phone, I expect you to pick up and I expect your attention. If I call you, I expect a response. And the call is deep for a few reasons because when God calls you, he doesn't allow you to stay where you are. He calls you, watch this, when he calls you, he expects you to come. So Kevin, come here, Kev. Come on, a little quicker. You act like you don't know it's God. Okay, come on over here. He expects you to come. And where does he expect you to come from? Where you were. In fact, can I just go ahead and say that where he expects you to come is twofold. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, verses 17 through 18 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse number 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, get this. So he expects us to come out from them. Who's them? The world. Let's just say that's the world over there. He expects us to come out of the world, and he wants us to receive, and he wants to receive us as children, but that can only happen when we come to him. Go back over there. As long as Kevin's in the world, he can't receive us because he has not obeyed the clarion call to just simply come. Oh, God. You just got to come. I've been trying to figure this thing out, and it don't make no sense to me, and it don't seem like it's working out to me. That's because you have not come. You've got to come, baby. And when you come, he says, I will receive you as sons and daughters. But as long as you over there in the world, that's where I'm going to leave you. That's where your blessings lie. That's where your next level is. That's where your higher height, your deeper depth is over there in the world. And I just got a question. How's that working out for you right now? Lord, have mercy. Listen. So he has a purpose. Watch this. He has a purpose to fulfill. And since the Bible says it's his purpose, how we fulfill it has to be done his way. And when you think about it, it only makes sense because how could we fulfill anything of God's?
Right.
Think about that. You're going to fulfill God's purpose your way.
the most intelligent entity that has ever and will ever exist, and you gonna fulfill his purpose with your flawed, messed up thinking. Yeah. You're gonna fulfill his purpose. And yesterday you was all up in sin. But you're gonna fulfill his purpose your way. The devil is a lie. You have to fulfill his purpose his way. Watch this. But we can't. We can't do it our way. But through his strength and his empowering, we are sufficient. Sufficient is defined as enough for a particular purpose. Do you know that you are sufficient? You are sufficient. I know what they called you, but baby, I promise you, you are sufficient. I know how they dogged you, but I promise you, you are sufficient. I know how they tried to make you believe you can't make it without them, but I promise you, you are sufficient. You are enough for the purpose, amen? And if you are enough for the purpose of God, it ain't a human on the planet that you ain't enough for. Oh, God, y'all. So some of y'all need to stop taking it. Oh, oof. Some of y'all need to stop taking it because you are enough for the kingdom. So I know you are enough for these mere mortals. Lord have mercy. I ain't even preaching today, I promise. So the Apostle Paul is saying, through Christ's strength and empowering, we are enough for his particular purpose. Lord have mercy. And I think it's deep that he calls us to be holy. Because I don't know about nobody else in here, but like I said earlier, holy can be hard sometimes. And that's why I'm so glad that God doesn't just tell us to be holy and expects us to be holy just like that. No, the Bible says that he infuses me. Infuse is defined as to call someone or something to take in and be filled with a quality or a condition of mind. So he fills me with inner strength. His inner strength, but it isn't just any old strength. Look at the definition. It's a quality of strength. It's a strength you can't come up with. It's a strength that, without it, trying to accomplish what he's called you to will have you up late at night. Ready to throw it all away, ready to give it up. It's a strength that you can only have once you are totally tapped into him. Because God don't waste nothing, and everything that God's got is valuable. Amen. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. So he fills me with inner strength, and it's not any strength, it's a quality of strength. And I'm going to bring this to an end by dealing with this last piece of scripture. Paul says, watch this, I am ready for anything and equal to anything. Through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace, oh Lord. When Paul says, I'm ready for anything, he's saying, despite how crazy it might get, I'm ready for anything. No matter how lonely it gets, I'm ready for it. My wife saw me today in my office and she said, you're in here all alone. And she said, I'm sad for you. I said, not me, I'm up for it. See, you got to stop taking alone as something's wrong with you. Alone might be something's wrong with the people that you're trying to surround yourself with. And so God is saying, I'm calling you out from all of that so that I can get you one-on-one so I can do a great work in you. You understand what I'm saying to you? But many of us miss the opportunity to do that great work simply because we want to be with what God is trying to keep us from. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Huh? How many of you have been trying to hold on to something God been trying to make you let go of? You trying to hold on, and God saying, let it go. And you, I like it, I like it. But it don't even like you, what you trying to hold on to. Can I just go ahead and say this? I don't even know who I'm talking about. If they don't like themselves, they can't like you. That's relationship advice, amen? Can't love me and you don't love yourself. So no matter how lonely it gets, I'm ready for it. No matter how they slander my name, I'm ready for it. No matter how they mock me, I'm ready for it. And not only am I ready for it, I can handle it. Come what may, I can handle it. Report from the doctor, I can handle it. Thick Shonda being extra sexy, I can handle it. Folk throwing shade on my ministry, I can handle it because I am sufficient in Jesus' sufficiency. Let me just go ahead and break this thing down to you. Come here, Kevin. So here's Kevin. Kevin is my guy. And so Kevin sits here, and he doesn't have the strength to fight, Dick Shonda's on the other side of the door. Come here, grandson. Come here real quick. Quickly. You're young. You should move fast. Okay, there we go. And so now, you know, you like that. Hands out. Stretch him out. And here's the door. My grandson is the door. I'm thick Shonda, but I'm not in identity crisis. Let's get that straight. Amen. Let's get that straight. Let's start right there. Amen. Let's start right there. So I'm thick Shonda, and Kevin done made the problem. He done made the mistake of answering the phone. See, the problem wasn't that you let him in your crib. The problem was that you answered the phone. Oh, Lord, y'all ain't talking to me in here. The problem is that you answered the phone. Well, I didn't know that's what it was going to be about. What you thought it was going to be about at 1:28 in the morning? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So now Kevin is at a crossroads in his life because he's been trying to read the word. He's been trying to walk saved. He's been trying to do this thing for real. But he's at a crossroads because Thick Shonda. She called and I called him and he said, if you won't come over, you can come over. But he said something silly. He said, but we ain't doing nothing. Because he's gonna stay holy. You come over, and all the way while Thick Shonda, instead of calling Thick Shonda on her way over there and saying, don't come over here, he was saying foolishness like this. He was saying stuff like, when she get over here, we're gonna read this Bible. It's 1:42 in the morning. Oh, help me, Jesus. Kevin is at a crossroads in his life because now Shonda's at the door. And it's all important if Kevin is going to be the man of God that he is destined to be, that he is trying to be, that God has purposed him to be, or is he going to be the Kevin that he's always been? Baby, can I just go ahead and tell you, you can be who God called you to be, or you can most easily be who you've always been. Now, here's the thing. I know you hear me knocking. Kevin has no strength on his own. From the bedroom to the walk to the door, he done forgot all about the Bible. And now he's getting ready to turn the lock on the door. You understand what I'm saying to you? But guess what happens? Guess what happens? Come on in here and be Jesus and infuse Kevin. Go ahead and give a cue. And then all of a sudden he's getting ready. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit infuses Kevin. And Kevin goes, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. Maybe you shouldn't be over here this late. I'm gonna cash app you some gas money. And she's like, but I'm wearing your favorite outfit. And Kevin goes like this. And then the infusion comes again. And so now this infusion is for power, because now I need the power to be able to get away from his doorknob. Y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about in here. And so now the power and the strength has been infused. And she's like, and now Kevin says, it don't make no never mind what you got on. I'm telling you now, get on away from him. Call police. I said, I'm gonna cash app you some gas. Go on about your way. Go on, have a seat. Go on, have a seat. Thank you. This is just how it works. I promise you, I have been on the side of the door, like, because I know what's on the other side of the door. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what's on the other side of the door is really just a smoke screen for what's really on the other side of the door. Because in my natural, I'm thinking it's just Thick Shonda being extra sexy. But the reality is, it's hell waiting for me on the other side. And it always will be. And it always will be. So listen to my close. Now, I'm getting ready to close. I want you. Not only does he, I just want to, give me 1 second, buddy. Not only does he infuse me, because I want you to catch this. This is very important. This is very important. Not only does he infuse me with inner strength, he infuses me with what the Bible called confident peace. Because see, here's the setup. You ever said no to sin and felt good about it until the next morning, and you begin to wonder, where'd he go? Where'd she go if I didn't answer the door? And how do I know that wasn't my husband and maybe, or my wife, and maybe I was just supposed to let them in, and maybe I would have had a great Bible study. How do I know that? You see how Satan gets to playing with you here? And I tell you what, God, if they call again, I'm going to go ahead and answer your call. No, that's not God. They're going to call again because they're after something. Stop it. Do you know why it's such a struggle to live holy, to live God's way at first? Because we ain't sure. If we're just being real about it, we ain't sure. And anytime that you're not sure about something, it steals your peace. Amen. And it would be so much easier if we knew how it was going to play out. I mean, we know how it's going to play out when we live for the world's, from the world's perspective. The flesh is pleased. We know that, but hell awaits. Amen. And though by the end of it, we find ourselves victims to that very thing that we couldn't get enough of at first. You ever been a victim to what you couldn't get enough of? Lord, have mercy. It's the parts of you that made you feel good, that made you hold on to it. If God would just tell us, though, right, how it was going to play out, wouldn't it be so good if God was going to, if he would just tell us, who we going to end up with, what they look like? Will I be happy? You know what I'm saying? Will I feel better as a person? But God doesn't tell us any of that. He says, trust me. And we all know that's easier said than done. But what faith does is it doesn't just give me a peace. It gives me a confident peace because I understand that I can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? Beloved, all I want you to know today, that in order to be an unbroken fellowship with God, there's going to have to be a breaking of you. And the breaking is going to be as hard, as deep as the mess that you allowed yourself to be a part of. So some of you are saying, I want to do this and I want to do that, but it is so hard for me to live this life. That's because you made a decision to get so deep into what you shouldn't be a part of. But you can come out of it. And one of the lies from the enemy is to tell you, you can't do this. You can't stay away. You can't walk away. That's what Satan wants you to believe. And because something on the inside of you begins to hurt, you call it your heart. But really, you're just in your feelings. This is free right here. This is in my heart. No, it's just in your feelings. Can I prove it? Remember the last time it was in your heart with the other person? I know that's right, nephew. Nephew just laughed. That was on cue. You remember the last time it was in your heart? It wasn't your flesh. You was in love. But if that was the case, you wouldn't be in love with who you're in love with now. I want you to understand that Satan is playing a cold game with us. He's playing a cold game with us, and he's banking that you come to church and you listen to the preacher, and then by the time that you get halfway out of the parking lot, you own what you own like you always been. But if you would dare to love yourself enough, if you would dare to love yourself enough to say, you know what, this time I'm going to stick it out. This time no means no. And it might not just be relational. It might be that cigarette that's chasing you down with cancer. Huh? It might be that blunt, and the next one you catch might have that fentanyl on it and take you on away from here. It doesn't just necessarily have to be relational. I want you to understand sin is a broad situation. Satan's trap is a broad trap. It's deep. It's wide. And that's why so many get caught up in it, because this couldn't be the enemy. I mean, it's everything that I wanted. Usually when it's everything that you wanted, but you ain't did nothing by God to get it, then it's probably Satan. Just to let you know. Be willing to be broken, to be in unbroken fellowship with God. There's peace in the breaking, I promise. There's next levels in the breaking, I promise. There's a happiness that I cannot explain to you in the breaking, because the breaking keeps me in unbroken fellowship with him. And I've lived long enough to know that as long as I'm in unbroken fellowship with him, I'm all right. I'm all right. You will be all right. 2025 is a new year. Just about halfway through a month of it. And some of us are already struggling with our grown folk promises, with our New Year's resolutions. But those resolutions you made was because you made them from a hurt place. I cannot do another year like this. I cannot do another year being treated like that. Then love yourself, beloved, enough to go through a minimal amount of pain to where when the pain is over, you're everything you are called to be. Everything you were called to be. Everything God called you to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come here today and we thank you. We thank you because you are an awesome and a faithful and a keeping and a loving God. Father, we thank you and we magnify your name. We thank you for your word. We pray that it was not just received, not just heard, but received and will be applied. God, now as we move into this next part of our service, the communion part of our service, Lord, we ask that you be all in it, only as you can. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
We will now start the communion part of our service. If you, ushers are coming down, making their way down to you now.